your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to be talking about two different groups today. And those two different groups, I'm going to talk about what I've got a chart that I'm going to put up with this particular talk this evening. And you'll be able to get it at thesecrettruth.com. And the title of the chart that I'm going to put up is called Dialectic Clash of Cultures. And what I'm going to try to do is that what's happening right on the border today is very, very relevant to going back and trying to look at the two different groups and much of what they have come to believe in. So there's a philosophy, a political slant, and economics like that, that the two different groups that are actually, you know, against each other in this country today. You could say it's the left against the right. You could say it's the conservatives against the liberals. You could say it's the Democrats against the Republicans. But it goes back many, many years. And one of the things to keep in mind about what's happened is we have to go back to the Fabian Society in England. We have to go back to 1848 in Europe when this communist movement started. A collective idea was germinated there. And then you have to say who seized upon that and who's been behind that movement since then. And it's the ultra-capitalists, the big people, the big money power has been formulating and structuring our society, our world system, into a communist world state. Now, we're going to go here and we're going to go through different, categorizations here and topics and the way to label people. We have to begin to label people in some way. Or where do you end up? You have to describe the society, the reality. You have to use definitions, and the way that these groups fall out is the way I'm going to describe during this first hour. The second hour, we're going to be discussing the book Los Zetas, okay? And it's a book written about the drug cartel in Mexico that is becoming very, very powerful down there. And the recent presidential elections also in Mexico, after I lay out these differences and labeling and stuff, then we'll, if we have time, we'll get into the presidential elections in Mexico and we'll profess, I mean, we will put forward some comments on that. What's happening is that we have two groups, you could say, in this country now. And here's the way I'm going to describe them. I have about 36 different ways to describe these two groups, okay? And you may not fit in your particular side of this, the Democrat, Republican, or conservative, or liberal, quite into all these categories. So there's a mixture sometimes that people have, and you can't really say everybody is left, everybody is right. There's mixtures here. But I'm going to try to do my best to explain some of the differences here between these two groups that are actually at loggerheads and are battling one another in this country today. And it's a very destructive battle at loggerheads that we're experiencing. Okay, beginning, this is dialectical clash of cultures. You've got the left and the right. The conservative moderate I'm saying is on the right, and on the left is what I call the neoliberal. Now, what I mean by the neoliberal is that this is not the classical liberal of Jeffersonian. This is a neoliberal that's more statist than classical liberal. Okay. Now, on the left side, I put conservative neoliberal, and on the right side, I put the conservative moderate. Okay. So, let's start describing these things. On the left, we have people that believe in open borders. Okay. On the right, we have the people, conservatives, moderates, control borders. On the left again, uncontrolled immigration, that's what they're pushing. On the right, we have controlled immigration. On the left, we say, don't build the wall. On the right, we have people screaming, build the wall. On the left, we have drug use is cool. On the right, we have drug use is illegal. On the left, we have minority identity classes, the way that this political identities have fallen out on the left. On the right, we have a conservative, moderate class structure. Okay. On the left, we have a new sovereignty that is being strived for, and we have Aslan movement and other things that are synergistically feathering into that. On the right, we want people to maintain our present sovereignty. Okay. On the left, we have people that are for a North American Union, and that North American Union was signed into effect, not totally, not formally, but informally, by George W. Bush and Baylor in about 2005, I believe. We have people that are against the North American Union. They would be the conservatives with Trump. On the left, we have the socialist, communist. On the left. On the right, we have the capitalist, okay? On the left, we have the Aslan movement, and it's a means to break up America in its greatest, most extreme form, okay? On the right, we have keep America intact as it is, okay? A conservative view. On the left, we have liberation theology. And the description of Jesus was that Jesus was a socialist communist. So, the Liberation Theology Group is for world communism. It came out of the Jesuits' teachings in the church and so forth. On the right, we have Jesus is King. It's more of a charismatic movement type of idea. Okay. On the left, every man a humanist. Okay, and what gave rise to the Universal Declaration of Humanism? So that would be on the left. Every man a humanist is the way I'm picturing that, portraying that. On the right, every man a king. Okay, when we started the American Revolution, the idea that germinated early on within the American patriots that won their victory over the British was that no man would be a king over his fellow men, but every man a king. And that's what's one of the battle cries that the American revolutionaries had in their hearts. On the left is the Aztlan movement, which is a movement that says that the Aztecs were all in northern Mexico and into the southwest and so forth. And they claim that there was land stolen from Mexico or in Spain and or Spain by America as it was expanding to the west. The Make America Great Again, therefore keeping America intact as it is. On the left, the church, the Catholic Church, is a movement within there. The liberation theology is a socialism communist movement, and I believe this Pope Francis is a liberation theology supporter. Well, I know he is. On the right, the charismatic movement is more your charismatic, very conservative evangelical churches, and some of that exists in Mexico today. On the left, you have the statism. The neoliberal today is more on the statist side than he is on the classical liberal side. And on the right, we have republicanism. The conservative, moderate right believes in a democratic republic. Okay? And they're the ones that held out. Jefferson and Mason and them held out and forced the 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, onto the rest of the states. Without the anti-federalists holding out, we wouldn't have the Bill of Rights. And that came out of Jefferson and Mason and those other people. We have people on the left that believe in human rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It just so happens, though, that Article number 29, number 3, says that if you go against the UN, you lose all rights. So these are human rights being promulgated and given to us by other men. This is the fallacy and the problem with that. The other side, the conservative, moderate side, would say we have natural rights. And one of the more natural rights that's more evident than any other is the right to keep and bear arms with protecting oneself and one's family. And also to protect oneself from a tyrannical government, see. That's really what the Second Amendment is about, the right to keep and bear arms. When we talk about law, we talk about positive law coming from the left, which is textbook law, which is made, is created, legislated law. From the right, conservative, moderate right, their belief in the natural rights is supreme. And the right to keep and bear arms would be a natural right, see. And so this gives rise to positive law coming from statute law, and on the other side would be natural law, okay, which gives rise to natural rights that I just said a moment ago. The natural law, that concept, is no longer being taught in our schools because the positivism idea that men make laws and govern men through that lawmaking power is supreme over the natural law. The natural law is basically, in a very generalized sense, is that nature itself existed unto itself, out of itself, you know. And man didn't have the power to create nature. So if we look at nature and we look at the right to keep and bear arms, that goes basically back to our natural state of protecting ourselves and the right to do that. So that's what that's based on. Other concepts and labels can be, liberalism would be on the left, conservatism would be on the right, okay? I'm down to about number 18 now, okay? So we got a few more to go, and then we're going to get into other items this week and other news items. The concept about the U.S. Constitution from the left is the idea that it's a living, breathing document and it should change with cultural changes. From the right, a strict constructionist view, and that's my view. And it should be interpreted as closely as it can be to the original written word. Okay. In education here, we've got the liberal left, the John Dewey liberal left supporters, that education should function to socialize the child. Okay. On the conservative right, we have teaching of the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and the trivium, okay? And that's some of the basic educational tools that came out of the Renaissance. And also, on the conservative right, is 2 + 2 = 4, not 5, okay? I mean, we have jumbled up our education system, and we're not educating anyone anymore. We're just processing them through. It's like it came out of the Prussian experience, is when Napoleon went in and defeated those German states in there, principalities. The Germans were divided in these principalities, and they finally got together and said, we've got to institute a national education system. And even those farm boys, they were marching them to school, made it mandatory at the end of bayonets. Because once they got them into school, then they could condition them into being very patriotic citizens that would protect the wealth of and the money of the wealthy. And that's really what it's about. And we inherited those kinds of systems here, okay? Now, you have on the left Hillary supporters and Bernie Sanders and other people that were running. And then on the conservative right, you have the Trump supporters. See how this is dividing out, you know. Number 21, the liberal left says Trump is a racist and hates especially the Mexicanos. Well, when he first came down that escalator with Ivanka and announced he did say that there were criminals coming across the border, but he said there were other good people too. Well, the media just seized upon the negative, and they've created this idea that he's a racist. Okay. On the conservative, Trump actually had been supporting the working class better than Obama and other past presidents. And his facts about bringing this economy back, it is coming back. It is back. And especially for the minorities, there's jobs more plentiful out there, and black Americans are more highly employed than they were under Obama. The accusation that Trump is mean-spirited and doesn't love people, that's unfounded. Trump is interacting with more people and working harder than any president that I've been able to witness during my 74 years here on Earth. And didn't really pay attention until about 30, 35 years ago to politics. Well, I go back about 40 years and being pretty conservative and active. But Trump does love people. He has people in the White House. He has meetings there all the time. And he's stepping up. Recently, to counter this attack on him of the children in cages, all of that existed in the same way from Trump to Obama and Bush and all them. They did have to detain people in some kind of not cage, but behind a jail, in a jail, you know. The battle cry right now is impeach Trump. The battle cry from the right is jail Hillary. This recent example of this wrongdoing by the FBI and the Justice Department is overwhelmingly the biggest scandal that America has experienced in decades. Bigger, way bigger than the Watergate and all that. This thing, they are stonewalling, the Department of Justice is stonewalling these committees and providing them documents that they have subpoenaed months ago, and it's getting into years ago now. So Department of Justice had real, real big problems in wrongdoing. There was a concerted effort, a conspiracy to defeat Trump before the election, and after he was elected, there was that continued. That conspiracy continued on to destroy his presidency, and it's ongoing now. The job creation from the left, it has always been, we create more jobs, more government jobs. From the conservative right, the reduction, okay, job creation through private enterprises, okay? And also, this idea of the reduction of big government came from the right and has come from Trump. He's made several executive, proclamations and so forth, executive orders to reduce big government. The liberal left create more government jobs and create bigger and bigger government. When he started these tax cuts, the liberal left says increase taxes on business. Trump decreased business taxes. The liberal left says increase individual taxes to pay for more and more programs. Trump said decrease individual taxes, and that's what he did. Okay. The liberal left says unions must be supported and grown. The conservative view is unions have rights, but the conservative view is also they support the right to work laws in the states. The liberal left is more of a neoliberal today than a classical liberal. The conservative right does not realize the term classical liberal as much as they should. But the classical liberal was a Jeffersonian and a Mason type of person. And what they've done is they've besmirched Jefferson as having slaves and then taking advantage of that situation with some of the slave women. See? So they tried to destroy that. We were up a few years ago at George Mason, and George Mason you would think to be very, very conservative, but it's not nearly as conservative as it should be or used to be. Okay? Now, let's get down to this global warming issue, okay? And that's coming up again. What we're laying out here is the reasons why the deep state, along with Hillary and her minions, have created a tremendous hate-filled and mean-spirited campaign against Trump. They're being manipulated by the ultra-capitalists that they don't realize to destroy Trump, because Trump has taken away some of their big toys and their big spending mechanisms, see? And so the deep state, along with what I call Spectre, which is at the top, and I would say the recent meeting in Turin, Italy, by the Bilderberg, that you could say that they're the committee and head of Spectre, basically. And you got to look into the 007 books to understand what Spectre is. But in those 007 books, Spectre was an international criminal organization that was worldwide and had very power, political, economic, and so forth, economic power. And that's really what exists today. And the Bilderberg Group is one of those at the very highest levels of the Spectre Group. The global warming, okay, by the left, they're saying that it's real. There was cheating coming out of East Anglia in England a while back. They were cooking the books on data. And so there's been all kinds of problems with sometimes with these data of trying to formulate and support the global warming. And now it's global change. It's a weather change, see, that they've fallen back to. The conservative, right? And I would say that the ecological movement originally started out very well-intentioned. They were well-intentioned, motivated, and their goals were well-intentioned. We had Love Canal. It was a mess. They cleaned up a lot of the chemical spills and things like that. They haven't addressed Fukushima yet, so I'd like the liberal left to step up to the plate on that. They didn't even make it to a couple of Fukushima conferences we had here in Austin. So people are saying, and I've read different people over the years, that the global warming or ecological movement, the environmental movement, you could say, has been a method of political control, see. Now, what was interesting was that the Club of Rome was created in about 1968 in Rome. And it's amazing that Turin, you know, Italy, was where the last Bilderberg meeting occurred, inside of a Fiat factory, an old Fiat factory that had been converted over to a very exclusive hotel. Well, the people that founded the Club of Rome, which gave rise to the Green Movement, and all that other stuff, okay, were Giovanni Agnelli, okay, which were the owners of Fiat, okay, and today, I think it went public at one time and then they took it back private. So these are the connections and the power connections that we see all over the place. The UN, we get into there, there's a big difference of opinion there. The liberal left likes to work through government and government programs and government power. But what they've been done is they have been seduced into an idea that capitalism is evil and diabolical. But they use the term capitalism in a very general way. I will say, and I agree, that crony capitalism, which is what we have today, is not good and is very diabolical. So the liberal left needs to start recasting their statements and say, okay, capitalism is very productive and very efficient, but it's the problem on the capitalism side is crony capitalism, which is monopolistic or Babylonian capitalism. And that's what we must start differentiating here, so that we can begin to understand really what's going on out here. You used to hear that the liberal left is against capitalism, but they just say capitalism, see. You've got to explain, but they don't know. The liberal left does not understand that the crony capitalists control them, okay, and are actually bringing them along to create a world communist state for the masses. What we're going to see is a corporate fascist world government ruled by the corporate financial people and on down. And at the bottom is going to be world communism of everybody else. And then the government created, the world government and the world armies created to control the masses will be able to dole out benefits and requirements, but required that you conform to the government and don't make waves. So that's what we're talking about there. So on the liberal left, the UN is necessary for world peace because they're into peace. But under Obama, when he's bombing all that, the world peace movement, the national peace movement, where were they? Anyway, the UN is necessary for world peace is the liberal left view, world government and so forth. On the conservative right, the UN world government mechanism will smash U.S. sovereignty. And that is the fear of the conservative right. If you remember, what President Trump did on the very first afternoon after the inauguration, he went and signed an executive order and negated the Pacific Partnership Agreement. Well, the liberal left has been converted, and Hillary's right there in supporting the Pacific Partnership Agreement. The conservative right believes that the Pacific Partnership Agreement threatened sovereignty and also gave too much power to the corporations and so forth, and I agree on that. When it gets to medicine, okay, here's just sort of a mixed bag here. I put the liberal left supporting the traditional medical practices, see. But that's mixed. And then I'm saying that the conservative right is getting into alternative medical treatment and medicines. But why I said that was Trump is opening up, by executive order and so forth, the accessibility to alternative medical treatment and medicines. And so I don't see any other president ever having done that. The other presidents supported, whether they were Democrats or Republicans, supported the traditional medical practices, and big pharma controlled them all. Okay? Now, we get to fake news here, okay? And the liberal left, they watch intently CNN, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, and the mainstream media, and also NPR and PBS. Boy, they just swear by these. Okay. And on the conservative right, with Trump always saying about fake news and all that all the time, he says that fake news is practiced by the mainstream media, and he's right. And he'll be up there at one of his rallies and point back to the back. I've seen speeches before, and he said, "Look, there's the fake news back there, and it'll be a CNN camera, and they'll cut it off." He said, "Yeah, see the red light went off, see." You know, when the cameras are active, we usually have a red light you can see on the outside of the camera. See? So he's been confrontational to the media, who had been at his throat since he went in office and also on the campaign trail. But he was not expected to win. Hillary thought she had it locked down. That's why the FBI and the Department of Justice, all those people violated numerous laws. And they were talking and conspiring together to take Trump's campaign down. He went in and was elected. And now they're trying to take his presidency down through impeachment or something like that. There's even been ideas that he is psychologically, you know, has psychological problems and things like that, see. Now, his recent meeting with the president of North Korea was very productive. That's ongoing. There's all kinds of the remains being brought back. I think they're around 200. But now what has come up has been this assault on him about breaking up families, okay? Well, some of the propaganda is very great. Like Time magazine, they have Trump standing there and the little girl that they got this photograph of, okay, crying. And now it's come out that her mother was right there and was never separated from that child. But what my question then arises, that the photographer that took that photograph knew the mother was there, then how did all of this story come out that she was not with her mom or so forth? See what I mean? So there was misrepresentation from the very beginning, soon after that photograph was snapped. And that liberal left has used this. This is the propaganda of the liberal, the good example of the liberal left using lies and highly emotionally charged arguments. Like this little girl, you know. Everybody loves these little gals, you know. And nobody would ever want to hurt a hair on her head. So there was great attention given to this. And then Time Magazine, okay, put it on their, you know, front cover, okay. Well, now let me tell you about Time Magazine, okay. The Lucis dominated that for years. They were synarchist, okay. And synarchy, S-Y-N-A-R-C-H-Y, is the concept to rule over people by use of secret societies, okay. That is the synarchy idea. It came out of France in the 1700s. So the idea was that we create secret societies and we have these secret meetings and secret initiations and secret passwords, and we're part of the good old boy network. And so then we're going to go in and we're going to recruit into our secret society group the leading members of all these different communities and cities and states and so forth. And then we're going to get them to swear oaths, make them members of the secret society, and then we're going to elevate them in the political economic system and help each other. The bankers will finance our secret society bunch. And then as we grow in power, then we'll be able to rule from behind the scenes. But we'll never say that the secret society groups have the real power. We're just saying these are individuals out there. These politicians are very popular and so forth and so on. And so that's really where the Lucis were supporting. And it came out of Europe, synergy. Look that up. Now, the bottom line, the basic thing at the bottom here, and I'm going to put up a collective click-off also that a good friend of mine did, Eric Samuelson did years ago. And we'll have this chart up also so you can see that. So come on in to thesecrettruth.com, the first hour tonight. And then look at the chart. And then also listen to the second hour, which will be on Los Zetas. And we have a lady, she's actually teaching now at George Mason, but she wrote a fine book on them converting their organization from an illegal drug cartel to much more, you could say, above board or much more traditional business enterprises, okay? So that's something to look at also. Now, within Mexico, my last deal here, okay, on this chart, number 36, was on the liberal left is collectivism in many forms, socialism, communism. On the conservative right is individualism. Okay, and individualism gives rise to individual freedoms and rights and natural rights versus human rights given to us by the UN. See, so that's the last one. In Mexico today, okay, we have a battle going on down there. We've had different kinds of you say competition over the years of different, presidential candidates. We have right now, and it's very disturbing, okay, in Mexico, is we have candidates that are being murdered, okay, and it's more than one. It's several dozen now, okay. And Enrique Peña Nieto, is the president of Mexico. But this coming Sunday, I believe that's correct, in July 1st, I believe, is the election day. In July will be the presidential election, okay, in Mexico. And it's going to bring us a new president. And what's going to occur down there is something that has never occurred before. And what's happening now is there are candidates that are espousing some very unusual ideas, okay? And they're saying, hey, why don't we do amnesty for the drug cartels, okay? And there's one candidate, okay, who's actually stating that, okay? And so what are we going to do? He's from the left, they say. He's over, okay, López Obrador, okay? Obrador. And Obrador is the party, Moreno. And together we will make history is the slogan. And he's from the home state of Tabasco, okay? Ricardo Anaya is the PAN party candidate. And then there are two other candidates, Joseph Antonio Meade and Jaime Rodriguez Calderon. But Obrador, López Obrador Moreno, is the lead of the four. And he's saying some very, very disturbing things. He's saying that to overrun the border is a human right. He's saying things like, and then he's saying that we should give amnesty to the drug cartels. Okay? I just don't think that's going to work. I don't see any way that the drug cartels will go along with that. Especially if Los Zetas is actually going out there and pioneering in so-called legitimate business interests and beginning to tie up minerals and mining interests and things like this, could be that it's too late now. See, that as the corruption, as those drug cartels begin to make more and more money, they begin to taint and corrupt everyone around them, and so. It, that level in Mexico, the corruption is so high. Now there was a militia movement down there of local militias, okay, and down in some of the southern states there, close to Acapulco area, and in the second hour you'll be able to hear some of the opinions I had with my guest there, The militia movements, some have been co-opted by some of the drug cartels in some of the areas. Some are not tainted and are doing a good job at trying to regain some of their village powers and protection, see. I think, and I know the way out for the Mexican individuals and your hard-working, blue-collar people down there. The working people of Mexico. If you don't arm yourself and begin to arm yourself like these militias have, you're gonna lose. You've got to begin to arm yourself so that you can take back your country. The only people that have the arms now predominantly are the drug cartels. Until these militias have proven that when they got together and put rifles together, that they could become a power, okay? And that is still the case in Mexico today. They can still do it, but they're being thwarted by the government. And the government, all these governments, because of the drug money, is so horrendously large, it touches and corrupts about everyone that gets in its way. So this is what the problem is in Mexico, is that the drug money is just too powerful. Now, what we have is, we have people in this country that are also making money out of the drug business, drug trade. So neither side, the people here in this country, United States, and the people in Mexico and other drug-producing countries, they don't want it to diminish. They don't want any wall up there that might stop some of their drug business. In fact, here recently, it's been reported that not only have Customs, but the Border Patrol have stated categorically that what's happening down there on the border is that many of these young people, and right now the predominant person I believe coming across that's considered a minor still are your 16 and 17 year old men, young men, and because they're under 18, then they're considered minors, and so they are the predominant people coming across the borders now. When they come into a port of entry and they claim, okay, political asylum, the percentages are very minimal. Maybe 1% of those that claim it will ever, or just a few percent, will ever get political asylum. But at least they allow them in with the children, and they're not separated. Now, if they just come in across the border and they're arrested, okay, as an illegal entry, then that's when the separation of the children and the person that's come in illegally occurs. Now, I believe that Trump is changing this, and he's opening up the possibility to use some military bases to house this. But it's still a problem. And what I laid out just earlier in this hour, this first hour, is that you've got two groups, and the liberal left, especially so, has been molded and constructed and conditioned into a system of thinking that is becoming very, very detrimental to the overall survival of this country. And so, not that the right can't be very, very divisive either, but that conservative, moderate right would be the people that supported Trump and put him into office. They're still out there. It's just that their voices are not heard that much because the media is on the liberal left, not predominantly. You look at NPR and all that every day, all they're doing is putting out a very liberal left bias, okay? Now, out in Tornillo, port of entry in El Paso, there have been demonstrations out there just recently, and I think they're housing some of the children or families in tents out there now, and I think President Trump is taking an initiative to go out and use some military bases, Fort Bliss and these nearby bases, to house some of those people. So he's done more in that than anybody. Obama had them in cages. I mean, but they don't ever say that. Some of the photographs that are being used go back to the Obama administration. See? And they have, if you go back and look at some of these different reporting mechanisms, if you go back to Fox and Hannity and all them, and Laura Ingraham, these so-called conservative people that people hate them from the left, and they'll just, you know, they just speak very badly of these people. But if you go look at Hannity and you look at Tucker Carlson and you view Laura Ingraham, they have guests on there that are going to tell the truth. And Laura Ingraham was down there in San Diego area just a few days ago. And I think Melania went down to the valley to do her, you know, to put her hat in, to do some good. And I think Melania has done a lot of good But this attack on Trump is ongoing still in this area. Now, Trump brought some people in that had lost their relatives to illegal immigrants over the last few years. And, of course, they're saying now that he's using them as props and all this other stuff. But then there have been these kids at the demonstrations that had on these little, tinfoil-looking cover too, you know, and wrapped around them, and that's a symbol of what they give them in detention, just to stay, instead of a blanket or something. So it's not an easy solution. Are we going to further and encourage more and more illegal immigration? That liberal left, that Aslan group, that Aslan movement, all that, they're in favor of taking back what they feel was stolen from them in the 1800s. From Mexico. They believe that the United States stole the land, the Southwest, you could say, from west of Texas on out to California. They believe that there's a big area of land there that was stolen from the Mexican government. Now, when we get back and we talk about the Texas Revolution, it's a little different situation, 1836. And after that, there were three other states in the northern part of Mexico that broke off and formed their own republics. But many people are not very aware of that occurring, see. But that did occur. There were three northern states. Yucatan was one of them, and there were two others that were on the border that did leave the central government of Mexico. And Santa Anna was still the president at the time and broke away and formed their own republics. And I think it took about it took about 7 to 9 years to reform Mexico in its previous state, you know, with the Rio Grande being the border between Texas and Mexico and so forth. And so We have tempers that are flaring. This little girl, she wasn't by herself. Her mother was close by. The photographer probably knew that, but passed on the picture to someone. I don't know if he misrepresented or not, but then how did it get into this story that she was, you know, her mother was partied, you know, from her by the system, see? And then, boy, they started hating Trump, and then now we've got Sanders up there being run out of a restaurant in Washington, D.C., and then we have Kristen Nielsen, Homeland Security Secretary, being run out of a Mexican food restaurant there in Washington, D.C. Now they've got information on the person that started the row in the restaurant that ran Nielsen out. He worked for the Department of Justice. Now we get back to this scandal, these ongoing scandals. Now, how can anyone looking at what happened support Hillary and that group? When Hillary was being interviewed by the FBI, there were people like Cheryl Mills there. Cheryl Mills had been a target of the investigation and a witness also. You can't let witnesses and targets of investigation sit in there when you're quizzing one of the targets or the main target, which was Hillary. And today, Cheryl Mills sits on the board of directors of BlackRock. Now, let me tell you about BlackRock. They manage between $4.5 to $6 trillion. That's with a big T, okay? And they're the money powers behind Hillary and all this other. You've got to look at the Rothschild Group and all these other, the Rockefeller and all these other ultra-billionaires, see, to understand that this money power, okay, took Hillary's side in this election, the 2016 election. And in doing that, you could say they made a bet that Hillary would go in, and then some of these FBI and Department of Justice people went overboard because they felt like they had it wired, so they committed many violations of many laws. It's coming out now, and this is why they're not giving these committees the document that they've been trying to subpoena for months, if not a year or more. So those documents are going to prove, if they ever get them, who knows it, that there was wrongdoing and it was put together by some top officials, whether they were FBI and along with the Department of Justice. The FISA applications to get certain warrants to intercept communications were unwarranted and they were falsified and put together with the Steele dossier. And this thing goes back to England, to MI6, to the CIA, to the Department of Justice, to the FBI. You've got wrongdoing at the highest levels. That's why when you move out of the country, you move out of our deep state, and then you get into something I've been calling Spectre, okay? And Spectre basically is this international power group, money-based, money power. And they bought up and they own the majority in the West of productivity, industrial, you could say, and large companies, the Fortune 500. Now, coming out of China, though, you've got a real, real competitive, a very aggressive system that's happening over there. And Z and them are organizing to take over the world, okay? Wei Xinjiang, who I interviewed years ago, spent 18 years in Chinese prisons. He had put up on the democracy wall in Beijing a statement. He was actually editing a magazine in Beijing at the time, which was pushing, trying to establish democracy, okay? And he placed upon the wall of democracy in Beijing some statements and some press, see? But he signed them, see? So the Chinese authority came back and they said, hey, you know, you did that? Yes. And he, you know, said, yeah, I did that. I'm for democracy in China. Well, they put him in prison 18 years, see? And the Chinese prisons are not very nice either. And so now China is pursuing a very aggressive programs to secure, to bring to them. What they're doing basically is that UK, Great Britain, started importing into China opium, okay? And many of your MPs and members of parliament at the time, and very the landed rich of England, turned their nose up until the monies from this opium trade reached such proportion they couldn't ignore it any longer, so they embraced it. But Great Britain, along with our Eastern establishment, the East India Company, transported and imported into China opium, which destroyed the culture and destroyed China for a long time. But these powers in England then got ultra wealthy, and it transformed at the time the politics of England. See, those that were in on the East India Company became the dominant political bosses, you could say, of England. See, and that's what happened. And so what we're seeing now is a reversal. The Chinese were the victims of the opium importation and opium war. They had to actually start declaring capital that drug use was a capital offense, started executing people. And that's the only way they could stamp out the opium addiction in China. And they had to run out the opium East India Company also. But they didn't give up. They got this 99-year lease on Hong Kong, and that was relinquished to the Chinese a number of years ago. But what I see now occurring is that the Chinese, through the importation in our mails of opioids and other drugs, very dangerous drugs, are reversing it on us, okay? So they're importing into our country drugs which will have been decimating our population. And then, in addition, they have programs which they're bringing into China some of our most talented and brilliant people to milk them and pick their brains. They allow companies to go into China now, but and then they'll gut the company after they've milked everything out of the company that they can as far as the knowledge goes of their technology. So the Chinese are aggressively making alliances with certain foreign companies, and then after they acquire their technology, they're dismissing them, kicking them out of the country. That the Chinese are a threat to world peace. And we've got to start waking up. And that's what Trump has been doing, see. Trump has been trying to come back against the Chinese with some of these tariffs, because the Chinese right now have a tremendous number of tariffs against Western goods. They want to do all the export, but they don't want to do any import of our Western goods. So Trump is saying, hey, hold it just a second. You know, that's not fair. That's not a level playing field. But the Chinese don't want a level playing field, because they want the money accumulating into their hands, see. So right now, I see China is doing to the West what the Great Britain and the West was doing to China. They flipped it on us, see. And with their production skills and cost of production very low, then we're going to be locked into trade with them for a number of years. Now, there are certain technologies like this 3D printing and all this other stuff that some claim that will turn around industry, where we'll be able to start with 3D printing manufacturing stuff at the place that you sell. So there might be warehouses that in the back will be manufacturing the very items they'll be shipping out to people out the back door, see. So those are some of the saving graces that could occur. But Trump is trying to get industry back restarted in this country, and he's done it to a degree. But we must heighten that through 3D printing and other high tech. China is big. They're coming on strong. India is big, and they're also developing. So we have not only China as competitors, but we have India as a big competition too. But right now, the Chinese are turning around the East India Company. They are the West Chinese company, maybe you would call it them. But anyway, this is what is going on right now, and we must take notice. To awaken I talked about this before, is to come out of the deluded state. The reason why we have failed and that we continue to fail is that we've been preconditioned and predisposed into certain ideas that are hard to get rid of. You could say that when we stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance, then we're tying ourselves into being a good patriot, citizen, soldier. But who do we really fight for? Do we fight for the arms industries and for the wealthy of the country? Well, I think that's what we've been fighting for. They're misrepresenting sometimes that we're fighting to keep America strong and keep America free. Some of these wars are just to continue the sales of munitions and arms. So we've got to begin to try to wake up to this delusion, this deluded state, and try to come out of it. My solution, my advice, is to begin to forgive yourself and others. And through that forgiveness of self and others, you'll begin to start dissolving that false self which keeps us locked in to this hatred and resentment. This is what some of these groups now are being manipulated through. A lot of hate and resentment is being used to tag Trump and other people that are the so-called enemies, see? And then that hatred and resentment is just, continued to be increased, in people's minds. So the false self that are in these people that are going against with hate, being manipulated through hate and resentment, is not seen, see? It's not realized. But that's on both sides, see? Both sides can be very hateful and resentment-filled, and thus continue the delusion and the division that we're suffering in right now. So what we've got to try to do is come out of the deluded state and begin to forgive ourselves and others. And through that forgiveness of self and others, we will begin to awaken. And when we awaken, we'll begin to see how we've all been used, and we have been used. And this has been going on for a number of centuries, if especially since the Fabian Society, because the wealthy in England created the Fabian Society to bring socialism, communism to UK. Now they can't even afford to pay the people what they promised them, see? So it's going back a little bit the other way. So crony capitalism has been a problem. We need to specify that when we talk about capitalism, instead of using this general term that capitalism is the problem, we must say crony capitalism is the problem. I want to thank everybody out there for listening to this program. And we're trying to bring you some very insightful types of ideas and programs here to give you to come out of that delusion, to break free of that delusion. This what we're talking about here is real liberty and real freedom. Okay? And I'm not saying the Democrats are all bad, and I'm not saying the Republicans are all bad, and I'm not saying the Democrats and Republicans on both sides are all good either. I'm saying there's good and bad on both sides, and we've got to quit this delusion and this division that has been created by the elites that continue to rule us. So stop being ruled and come out of that deluded state. And stretch a hand out across the aisle and try to forgive one another, and maybe we can make it. Well, thank you very much for listening. We broadcast every Saturday night, 7 to 9. Thank you again, and good night, and I praise and bless every one of you. Bye-bye. Good night.